Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing very well, and we have a special guest today. Wow. Special guest. He's been on our program before. He's a congressman from Kentucky, the 4th District, from Garrison, and he came into Congress as I was leaving. We shook hands, and I said, see you later. You're in charge.
<That's yours. laughs>
But we required to attend a couple luncheons before he left. But anyway, he didn't need my luncheons. He was already with us. His name is Thomas Massey. Thomas, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on today, Ron.
Very good. And, you know, I did know about your campaign, and Rand certainly knew about your campaign when you first ran for office. And we, of course, did our little things to try to help you. And, you know, over the years, I've done that with quite a few people, and some I sort of had to bend and stretch and say, yeah, OK. But they would swear that they were going to be solid. And yet, after they got there, they weren't. You're one person that has been solid, and you are really the close to being the very best voter in the Congress right now. So we congratulate you on that, because we need a few more. I'm sure you could use some help up there. But it's great to have you on, and we helped a little bit back in 2012 when you ran, and you had a special election then. But I understand that we're going to be seeing each other, you know, later on this month. We're going to have a little rally. And, you know, I'm going to be very embarrassed if it's a little rally, because because if we can't get the troops out, you know, this will be a reflection, and I'm going to feel very badly about this. So tell us a little bit about this rally. Maybe there's going to be a few people that live in the area, you know, and that's within 1,000 miles of where you live and where the rally is, that we might be able to get some people to come out, because it'd be great to see our friends.
It's going to be a great gathering of champions of liberty. In fact, that's the name of the rally, the Champions of Liberty. Of course, you're going to be there. You're our superstar, and we can't wait to have you in Northern Kentucky. The city is Covington, Kentucky. It's right in the middle of my congressional district, but it's right across the river from Cincinnati, Ohio, if you're looking at a map. So you would fly into the Cincinnati airport, or I believe you will when you come there. It's on August 31st. So you're our headliner. And I'll be speaking, but I'm also really excited that our governor, Matt Bevin, is going to be there. He got right to work passed here in Kentucky, and he's also trying to reform our pension system so our state doesn't go broke. But he's a real champion of liberty. Our lieutenant governor, Jeanine Hampton, who's a Tea Party activist, who's now our lieutenant governor, she will be there speaking. And also Jim Jordan. Now, you know, when you were leaving Congress and I was coming in, John Boehner was the speaker, and I worked rather diligently to try and get another speaker, and we ended up with Paul Ryan, who I'm not that excited about, but he's leaving. But Jim Jordan is running for Speaker of the House now. Maybe you'll want to come back if Jim Jordan becomes Speaker. He's promising a more open process. But he will be speaking at our event, at the Champions of Liberty event.
Great.
And then another guy from Ohio, Warren Davidson, who replaced John Boehner when John Boehner left. And Warren, even though he's a veteran, he's very much a realist in terms of foreign policy.
Right.
So it's going to be a great lineup to have everybody there. And I can't wait to see you in Kentucky. Rand might get jealous. I don't know. We're having you speak and not him.
Okay, so you're telling me I don't have to hold back on my message. Is that correct?
Oh, open it up. Unload both barrels, as okay. We say in Kentucky. We're fond of the double barrel shotgun. So unload both barrels and give us a full dose of liberty. It's going to be a heck of an event. It's in the evening. It's a Friday evening of the Labor Day weekend. So it's a great way to start out your weekend, August 31st. And you can get tickets online at Align America is the name of the website. And you can pre-register there, which I suggest, because we want to make sure you don't come all the way to Kentucky and find out that the tickets have been sold out.
Yeah, we had a couple people did that last weekend at the Ron Paul Institute conference, and it's always terrible when that happens. But we'll have the link up on the website, Mr. Massey, for people to sign up on our YouTube page. But if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind getting a little bit more into the meat of things, get a little bit more into the trees. You had a great article that you did right around the time that Senator Paul from your same state was going to Russia and was visiting and talking with some of his counterparts over there. And it was a great piece that you had about sanctions, how foolish they are, and how counterproductive they are. And well, we see, lo and behold, this week the administration has slapped yet more sanctions on Russia. They were announced by the I think Undersecretary of the Treasury. And you know, the thing that's interesting about this is that on the one hand, you have President Trump saying, let's have better relations with Russia. And then you have his administration doing everything it can, it seems, to undermine that. So it seems like the strangest thing I've ever seen, that an administration is at war with its boss, with its own boss. And then here you see Gallup poll came out this week saying that 3 out of 4 Republicans want better relations. I mean, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but how do you read these seemingly contradictory things?
Well, there is some cognitive dissonance going on. And, you know, when you have good relations with another country, when you solve everything by discussion instead of dropping bombs or with sanctions, then nobody makes any money in Washington, D.C. So that's, you know, follow the money, right? And so that may be a reason that they don't want to solve all these issues that we have by just talking to our would-be adversaries. That's why what Ron Sun Rand did, my senator, and why it was so brave that he did it. I mean, everybody's trying to beat up on him, the media, the Beltway pundits. But in fact, you know, the Russians, the people, even if you don't like the government of Russia now, the Russian people are good people, and the sanctions are going to hurt them, not the Russian government. And so that's another reason that sanctions are so ridiculous. You're hurting actually the people, not the governments, and the people are the ones you're trying to get on your side. So, you know, speaking of folks that Rand spoke to, he met with Mikhail Gorbachev. And I remember when Reagan met with Mikhail Gorbachev, it was those discussions that sort of warmed up the Cold War and basically thawed it so that we could have good relations. We even had Boris Yeltsin come and speak to Congress. Now, that would probably get you arrested for sedition now these days, or indicted for something. But they had Boris Yeltsin in the speaker's chair in Congress, speaking to Congress a couple decades ago, because we knew that good relations were something we should seek. And so that's what I do. That's what Rand is doing. And that's what we need to do more of. And the other thing is, we got these proxy wars going on, like in Syria, where, in fact, our interests ironically align with Russia. They would naturally align with Russia. We're worried about terrorism, and they want to fight terrorism because it's one of their domestic problems as well. Yet here we are on two different sides of a proxy war, and we're driving them into the arms of Iran. They don't particularly like Iran, but we're driving them toward Iran and China.
Boy, that's for sure. You know, this whole issue of sanctions is something that's totally out of control, because Bolton also was just saying that, Trump might have even said that they want, their goal is with Iran is to get it so they can't export 1 gallon. And then they come up with all these threats, and like, if we find you messing around in election, but they never consider the fact that, you know, we do that. Have you ever come across anybody that's willing to listen to you about this argument about how many times we've been involved, and they don't even have proof of most of the things they challenge Russia with, but even if they I'm sure they pay attention to our election, but they've never achieved anything. But how many coups have we achieved? I'm always dumbfounded why we can't get anybody to listen to that, and they just blow it off because it seems like we're God and we can do what we please.
Well, I can't talk about the classified portion of the budget, but I'm about one of only 10 congressmen that go to the SCIF to read the classified portion of the budget before they vote to approve it. And I haven't voted to approve it. But let me talk about something that's unclassified, that's right out there in the open. Voice of America and Radio Free Europe. We spread our propaganda around the globe in at least 24 languages, and we spend $500 million on it every year. That's unclassified numbers. $500 million on our spreading our own propaganda. So, and then, you know, of course, there are things that we do that are much more involved and much more intrusive into sovereign governments in the classified portion of the budget.
Right. You make a great point, Congressman, that you don't have to love Russia, you don't have to be obsessed with Russia to realize it's just plain dumb 30-some years after the Cold War to continue this mentality. And I think you've suggested the reason why, which is that it greases the wheels of Washington and Northern Virginian mansions. But it's a good point you make about our propaganda, because we just put an article up on the Ron Paul Institute website pointing out how Facebook has erased some 600 accounts because it found out that it may have been involved with the Iranians may have been involved in taking out fake Facebook accounts. But the Broadcasting Board of Governors, which is a U.S. funded entity, our own propaganda entity, openly admits that it makes fake Facebook accounts to push propaganda. So it really is quite funny. But you mentioned Rand's trip and Senator Paul's trip. And you're right, it was extremely courageous at the time. And I was on a press call that he did after he got back. And it really sounds like he's taking bold steps to meet when nobody wants to. And here, look at the response. The neocons are going nuts. Stephen Hayes, the editor of the Weekly Standard, he had an article out this week, Rand Paul, Russian stooge. I mean, are we in kindergarten?
Well, look, the Russians sent a delegation to the prayer breakfast in 2017. It was roughly a week after President Trump was inaugurated. And nobody would meet with this delegation, but Dana Rohrabacher and I did. And now people are making that out to be some kind of conspiracy, just because we were the only officials in Washington that were willing to meet with the Russians who reached out, and of all places, the prayer breakfast, right? So I think that's sort of disingenuous that the folks are trying to beat us up for doing that. I don't want to disparage Russia, but I think it's important to keep their context in the world in proportion. You realize they're not even in the top 10 list of economies in the world. South Korea and Italy have bigger economies than Russia. Yet our news cycle is fixated on this one country who's not even in the top 10 in terms of GDP in the world.
I saw one statement in a paper that said everything that we do is defensive, and everything the Russians do with their military is offensive. And they've come to this conclusion and said it with and say it with a straight face. It's utterly bewildering. Thomas, I wanted to know, because I didn't follow closely enough, and you may be able to help me out, on this effort to defund or prevent funding being spent on the Yemen war, was there a vote in the House on that? And I see it's having a little bit of trouble in the Senate. Do you know what the status of that is?
We haven't got a vote on that in the House. We tried to push the issue actually a year ago. A Democrat, Ro Khanna, led that effort, and they sort of convinced him to stand down. They gave him some kind of pretend vote. And so we need to push this issue again. We are pushing this issue, and Mike Lee is pushing it in the Senate. I mean, there is no authorization for the use of military force that would allow, you can't stretch any of the AUMFs to allow our intervention in Yemen, the one that where we're helping the Saudis and where so many people are dying, and you have just tragedies going on. This needs to be debated in Congress. This, and it started under Obama. I don't want to put all the blame on the Trump administration, but it's something that we need to pull back from, and it certainly needs to be debated in Congress if we're going to spend the money on it.
You know, what is discouraging to me about this is the assumption is that wars can be fought anytime the executive branch wants to do it. The Congress does nothing, and then every once in a while, willy-nilly, they try to cut it back. But all they're trying to do is say, a token, very token effort to obey the Constitution. But that it doesn't even enter into the debate. You know, it's just we'll do it, and we'll do it our way. So I'm not all that, optimistic about what's going to happen on that. But it is an effort. There are people here that want to. And I bet if you had a vote with the people, it doesn't hurt you in your district. It never hurt me in my district to vote against all that stuff, you know.
And, yeah, I mean, look, people don't want to be in perpetual war. My constituents, my veterans, the veterans that I talk to about the fact we're going to be in the 18th year of the war in Afghanistan, they tell me, look, the veterans say we're really good at accomplishing missions, but you haven't given us one that can be accomplished. You haven't given us a mission that can be written on a postcard. And that's what Marines need. That's what soldiers need. And so my constituents are actually tired of all the wars, and many of them, because it's a very patriotic congressional district, go their sons and daughters sign up to defend our country, and they don't want them deployed in these needless wars as well. So they have a very much vested interest because of the number of people who serve in the military from my district. And as you know, Ron, you've got more donations than any other candidate from members of the military. And I always found that fascinating.
Yeah, right.
One of the problems, and it came up in our conference actually last weekend, we had Nassim Nicholas Taleb, who wrote The Black Swan. He talked about all through recorded history up until relatively recently, everyone who could send troops to war would himself or herself, in some cases, be in the front line. The kings would be in the front line of the wars, and so they were naturally a little more reluctant than all the Washington think tankers and scribblers to say go war. There's certainly nothing patriotic to send these poor men and women off to get shot without having any idea. But on the thing on Yemen, it's very interesting, and I don't know, I wonder how much play this gets on Capitol Hill, but you know, we're accused of being conspiracy-minded and this and that. But there was an investigation by the Associated Press, which is really, talk about the establishment, the AP. They investigated the Yemen war, and they said point blank, the U.S. involvement is cooperating with al-Qaeda in Yemen. And it was an amazing report. We did a show on it. But I wonder, do you think anyone in Washington may have, this wasn't Alex Jones, you know, this was AP saying we are side by side with al-Qaeda in Yemen. It seems nuts.
There's virtually nobody in Washington that's paying attention to this, with the exception of a few, obviously Senator Mike Lee and Senator Rand Paul. And then in Congress, there may be a dozen Republicans and a dozen Democrats who are trying to bring this to a vote and get a debate on it. I think that, you know, the pressure will only come from the people back home. When congressmen and senators start getting phone calls about what's going on in Yemen, hopefully the press will cover what's going on there. I'm glad to see that pictures are coming back, and that at least social media, as long as it's not being blocked, I'm sure some of it's being shadow banned or downplayed. But some of that's getting out there in social media, even if it's not in the mainstream press. And I think the people are starting to wake up. They're always going to wake up before Congress wakes up. And when they start lighting up our phone lines, which I hope they do, about Yemen, and this is also, this is where even the neocons get a little bit upset when they find out we are working with al-Qaeda, like in Syria, for instance. And then they try to say, oh, these are moderate rebels, these are not extreme rebels. They'll probably say the same thing in Yemen.
Thomas, we're going to finish up here soon. I'm going to make one little comment, and then I'll give you a chance to mention about the rally that you're planning. But I want to finish by quoting the quote you used in your article, because I think it really hits the nail on the head. It makes me look like a plagiarist. Okay, and this comes from an English writer, G.K. Chesterton. Quote, "A great nation ought not to be a hammer, but a magnet. Let's stop the bellicose rhetoric and instead start leading by example." That last sentence was yours. Great closing of a great article. But we really appreciate you being on here. I look forward to our rally here in a couple weeks. And if you give out the information once again about what you have planned.
August 31st, it's in Covington, Kentucky, at the Convention Center. It's going to be a big rally with you, Dr. Ron Paul, me, Jim Jordan, our governor, our lieutenant governor, and Warren Davidson. It will start in the evening. There's a VIP event if you want to meet Dr. Ron Paul and me and Jim Jordan. But general admission to the main event is only $25, $10 for students. It's a 501c3. I think it's even tax deductible. But please come to our rally. It's a great way to kick off the Labor Day weekend on August 31st. And it's just like 15 minutes from the Cincinnati airport. So you can get there easily anywhere in the Midwest. It's a close drive.
Very good, Thomas, and I want to thank you very much for being with us today, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
We're trying to keep the flame burning here, Ron. Thank you.
Very good, and I want to thank our viewers for tuning in today. Please return to the Liberty Report soon.